Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary. I'm reflecting on Jesus' call narrative, which is reported in Luke chapter 4. The Australian politician walked onto the stage, glanced at his iPad and said, "The spirit of the mob is upon me, because the mob has appointed me to bring good news to the rich. It has sent me to place boat arrivals into indefinite detention, to close the eyes of the clear-sighted, to extend mandatory sentencing and to proclaim the day of violent judgment of our God. And this prophetic work is solely for the benefit of straight, white, middle-class Australians who call themselves Christian." Some days it feels as if every time I look at the news, I see a version of this. That is, I see some self-righteous, powerful white man invoking Christianity as he acts and speaks in ways which are violent, bigoted, judgmental, scapegoating and excluding. People who are female, Indigenous or LGBTI+, are verbally diminished and mocked. Children speaking truth to power are told to shut up and go back to school. People who rely on Centrelink are depicted as fundamentally untrustworthy and made to jump through endless humiliating hoops. Asylum seekers are locked up in hellholes. LGBTI+ people are threatened with the loss of teaching jobs or access to hiring Anglican properties. Religion is conflated with nationalism, and a senator who claims we're a Christian country attends a neo-Nazi rally and bills taxpayers for his flight. These men are the voice of the nation. These men. And they are anointed by the mob because deep down many of us share their values and think that they are somehow Christian. And even those of us who have rejected these values sometimes secretly suspect that they are actually more biblical. That women shouldn't really be in leadership, that people of diverse genders and sexualities aren't really acceptable to God, that young people and poor people aren't really central in God's kingdom, that our nation, culture and empire are at heart pretty decent, and critique of them is not really the work of the church, and that even if Jesus came not to condemn but to save, a little judging, a little shaming, a little excluding, a little loving the sinner, hating the sin, will teach people the lessons they need to learn and turn them into the people we think they ought to be. For many of us grew up believing that the Bible says women should be submissive, that being gay is a sin, that children should be absolutely obedient to their elders, that the poor are slackers, that we live in the land of the fair go, and that shame, judgment, and exclusion are the tools of the righteous. And in fact, the Bible does in places suggest these things. And so while we may have decided to live differently, to share power, to serve others, to withhold judgment, to embrace diversity, while we may have decided to live differently, our internalized lessons create inner conflict. Loving acceptance, justice, and equality for all persons feel like the way of Jesus Christ. But there's so much judgment and exclusion in the Bible. What if we're wrong? What if we're on the wide road to hell? We wonder, and we feel so anxious that many of us here are too scared to open their Bibles. So let me be clear here. Not every word in the Bible has equal weight or authority. Not every word in the Bible has equal weight or authority. The Bible must be read through the lens of faith. And our faith is not first and foremost in Moses or Isaiah or John the Baptizer or even the Apostle Paul. Nor is our faith set out first and foremost in Leviticus or Romans or Revelation. Instead, our faith is first and foremost in Jesus Christ, Son of God, the man revealed in the Gospels. Everything else is secondary. Therefore, we must always read the Bible through this lens, looking for the traces of Jesus Christ in every passage, noting how some texts echo and others contradict him, and observing how Jesus himself took the scriptures and reinterpreted them in his revolutionary light. Tonight we heard Jesus' call narrative according to Luke, and it's a perfect example of this practice. Jesus has just been baptized, then tested in the wilderness. He is filled with the power of the Spirit. He goes into the synagogue in his hometown, as was his custom. He picks up the scroll, reads from Isaiah, editing as he goes, and thus he declares his mission and purpose. But what he reads is not an exact quote. Where the Isaiah passage brings good news to the oppressed, Jesus brings good news to the poor. This change emphasizes the oppressive nature of poverty, and it points to the year of the Lord's favor, a year of jubilee justice, when the rich will cancel the debts of the poor and restore to them their land. Jesus adds that he'll open the eyes of the blind, but he deletes the Isaiah promise to bind up the brokenhearted. And more importantly, he deletes any reference to the day of God's vengeance. He deletes it. Then Jesus tells his listeners that this scripture is now fulfilled and reminds them that the ancient prophets served those outside Israel's national, religious, and cultural boundaries. Notice what is not in his mission statement: marginalization, judgment, shame, exclusion, borders, a benediction on wealth, punishment, oppression, insider status, a violent God, and a whole lot else that we might associate with religion. Instead, Jesus proclaims that he is here to bring good news to the vulnerable, and that this work has already begun. For today, he says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is his self-proclaimed mission and purpose. And therefore, individually as his followers and together as the body of Christ, it is ours. That is, we must proclaim good news, not fear. We must cancel the debts of the poor, not marginalize, mock, and punish them. We must preach freedom, not just to white men, but to women and LGBTI+ people and people of color. We must release asylum seekers from indefinite detention, and Indigenous people and persons with mental illness and learning disabilities or addictions, all of whom are grossly overrepresented in our prison population. We must release them from jail. We must abolish mandatory sentencing and other laws which discriminate against those who are young, poor, Indigenous, or otherwise vulnerable. We must open people's eyes, not blinker them, and we must befriend national, religious, and cultural outsiders and cease portraying them as a hostile threat. And we must engage in this work of the kingdom today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but today. It is easy to claim to be religious. It is easy to thrill the mob. It is easy to take verses from the Bible and use them to feed people's fear of an angry and vindictive God and to bind and control them. But to do this is not the way of Jesus Christ. So with Jesus' words ringing in our ears, let us live out his self-proclaimed mission. And let us crack open our own Bibles and read prayerfully, intelligently, and confidently. Let us test every text and every statement and every claim and every religious expert and every public leader who invokes Christianity. And let us look always for the signs of Jesus Christ. Priority for the poor, release for the captives, clear sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed, debt cancellation and redistribution of wealth to the poor. Not just for us, but for everyone today. Freedom and forgiveness, jubilee, justice, hospitality, healing and hope, an end to human exclusion, and all this to happen in this life now. This is the way of Jesus Christ, our Lord. 2,000 years after he first declared his mission, it still sounds fresh and strange and wonderful and new, but it is old news. Yet it is very good news indeed, gospel worth repeating, and it is deeply, deeply biblical. Amen. That's all for today. Thanks for listening, and God bless you as you carry out Jesus' mission in your hometown, in your life. Amen.